Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Laura. How are you? Well, we are running our very first interview with Laura Snyder. She should be calling in very soon. So I will go ahead, bear with me. It is the first one, so we're going to go through a few bumps as we go. But I am going to run through a little bit about Laura's book, which is coming out in October. It is called Witches' Quarters. And let's see here. Laura is publishing with Clear Fork. And that is run by Callie Mettler. I'm sure some of you have heard of her. So I'm going to begin with just a brief synopsis of Witch's Quarters, which is Laura's book. So here it goes. Charlotte's parents are fighting again. As the oldest of four children, Charlotte needs something to distract her three siblings. June, the youngest, takes a quarter from a bag and drops it in a tree-shaped coin bank. But these are no ordinary quarters. The kids are transported to a new world, one that resembles the scene on the back of the coin. That world is Nova, and Nova is at war. The four siblings are now thrust into the middle of this war between the witches and the animal warriors. A raccoon named Ringo offers a way home, but the kids must first fight alongside the animals. Younger sister Ava wants to fight. Charlotte doesn't trust the warriors and wants to look for her own way out. Charlotte and Ava become separated when they each follow their instincts. On their own, each girl discovers mysteries about Nova that place their family in peril. Now Charlotte and Ava have to find one another again, a task wrought with danger and deception before it's too late. So that is the brief description of Witch's Quarters, which sounds very exciting. I can't wait for its release and readers to have access to it. Pre-orders are available on the Clear Fork website, which is just Clear Fork. Let me get you the correct website for Clear Fork. And the web address directly linked to the pre-order for Witch's Quarters. That is www.clearforkpublishing.com. And if you put the /store/P116/Witch's Quarters, then that will take you to the direct order link. I'd also like to progress and move forward with a little snippet about Laura herself. Let me see if I can find her most recent bio. Okay, looks like I'm struggling to find it, and we've yet to have Laura call in. This might end up having to be a scrap for this one, and we'll try to move forward with another interview with her later on. Laura is an Iowa author who writes both YA fantasy and contemporary fiction novels. She grew up as a member of a large blended family in Topeka, Kansas. She and her twin sister, the youngest of seven, she now lives in Des Moines with a blended family of her own, including her husband, two stepchildren, newborn baby, dog, and cat. Laura graduated from Drake Law School in 2009 and is a practicing lawyer in Des Moines. While law has been her profession, books have been her passion. And the release date is October 8th, 2018, I believe. Laura's website is laurasnyderstories.com, and that's LauraSnyderStories.com. Her Facebook page is Laura Snyder Author. Her Twitter handle is Laura S Stories 1, And let's see, she's emailing in now. Oh, she can hear me, but she's unable to respond. Let me see if I can change that so she's able to talk. Okay, introduction. Let's see. Okay, hang on just one moment, please. Okay, I believe I have Laura on the podcast now. Laura, you want to say hello?
Hi.
Hi. Okay, I've introduced Witches Quarters and a little bio about you. I think we'll try and run through the questions and see if everything goes through the podcast correctly.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Well, the first question I have is, there are lots of fantasy novels out there about witches. What makes Witches Quarters different?
Well, I think one of the primary differences about Witches Quarters, or the witches in Witches Quarters, is that the way it's written, it causes readers to wonder who are these witches and whether they're good or bad. I think in many books, the answer is pretty obvious from the beginning, or at least many fantasy books. Like Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe, you pretty much immediately know that the witch is bad. And in Harry Potter, you know pretty quickly that witches are good. So in this book, in Witches Quarters, the characters are more lifelike in a way that they're not all good or all bad. Each one has some good characteristics and some bad characteristics. And it's subjective for the reader to decide whether they ultimately think they are good or bad. And there are some readers that might fall on the good side and some readers that might fall on the bad side. But it's a subjective process. And each reader will have to kind of weigh those attributes and decide for themselves, you know, which side is good and which side is bad. The other way that this Witches Quarters is different than many other fantasy novels with witches is that there's not just one type of magic in this book. There's really two types of magic, and that is what causes a lot of the turmoil in the book. It's the greed and wanting what others have that creates a conflict in Witches Quarters.
Wow, yeah, that is definitely different and a new approach that I enjoyed reading. Laura, can you tell me, what is your educational background and what brought you to writing?
Well, my education is not typical, I would think, of a lot of writers. I was a political science major in college, and then I went to law school and graduated in 2009. I didn't take a lot of literature courses in undergraduate school. I think I took the route that I wanted to go to law school, so most lawyers were political science majors, and I sadly took the route that I thought most people did. If I could go back and do it again now, I would have probably majored in English, because if you want to go to law school, you don't need a political science major. You can major in anything. There's people with English majors, and some people that I practiced with in the public defender's office had English majors. You could have as long as you have a bachelor's degree, you can apply to law school. So I wish that I would have actually done that in hindsight. Truthfully, if I could actually go back and redo everything, I probably wouldn't have gone to law school. I don't spend a lot of my time encouraging people to become lawyers. I probably would have maybe followed something more of a passion, like writing. But what actually brought me to writing was really the love of books. When I was in law school, when I was an undergraduate, I would read textbooks and cases and study law, and all of those things are time consuming, and that's what took most of my time back then. But once I graduated and I took my first job, out of law school was actually as a prosecutor for a couple of years. And then I switched sides and went to the public defender's office. And because of conflicts of interest, I ended up having to work out of county and do a lot of driving. So instead of being bored while I was driving, I started listening to lots of audiobooks. And so that's kind of what got me back into fiction and fantasy and just re-addicted to books. And then that morphed into listening to audiobooks and having a physical book. So almost at all times, I'll have two audiobooks that I'm listening to that I kind of switch back and forth to, and I have a different physical book that I'm reading. I actually don't do ebooks because there's something about the smell and holding books that I like so much. But from there, I just started having ideas of my own, and then I decided to start putting those down on paper. I found that I enjoyed the creative process, and practicing law, it's a pretty stuffy profession. There's pretty rigid limits. You can't have a lot of creativity. The law is the law. There's a little room to fudge there, but it pretty much is what it is. And then, you know, every case has its own facts, but contrary to common belief, lawyers can't just make up their own facts. So you're kind of stuck with what you have, and you can be a little creative applying those facts. With writing fantasy, I mean, it's the complete opposite. It's a blank slate. You don't even have to follow the laws of nature. You can create and do whatever you want to do, and that was what I loved so much about writing Witch's Quarters and writing any fantasy book, is anything that I could imagine I got to do. And that was a real, without having limits, it's created a creative freedom that was fun to work with and a good outlet for me and something that I enjoyed and loved doing.
I love that. I love hearing everybody's, there are so many stories where people were pulled away from books and then they return. And I love to hear everybody's story of what draws them back to books and writing.
Yes.
And speaking of, why did you write Witch's Quarters, which you kind of covered a little bit, but.
Yeah, I did touch on that a little bit. But why I actually started writing the book, Witch's Quarters, I wrote it as a Christmas present for my oldest niece. She loves reading, and she's now starting sixth grade this year. But when I started writing the book, she was in fourth grade, and she was an advanced reader for her age. And so that was the year that she read Harry Potter. And I had already read the series, I think, twice by that time, but I went and read it again with her because I wanted to do something fun with her that involved books. And my sister, her mother, did the same. And when we got together, we were always talking about Harry Potter, and she was so excited about it. And our family is shamelessly Slytherin. Even now, years later, every time we see each other, we talk about books, suggest books to each other. We all love reading so much, and it's so nice to see in someone that young just her genuine love of reading books. And it was kind of that experience that made me decide, you know what, I'm going to write this book, and I'm going to give it to her for a Christmas present, and she's going to love it. She's going to love reading it. So even if the only thing that happened with this book was that it ended up as a Christmas present, I would have deemed it a success. But now that it's going to print and lots of kids and adults are going to get to read it, it's completely surpassed my expectations. And I'm so excited for others to get to enjoy it too.
Yay. I love that. What are some of the challenges that you've encountered through the publishing process?
Well, this is my first book, and so it's all been new to me. I've been practicing law for nearly 10 years, and when you do something for that period of time, it creates a comfort. I mean, I know what I'm doing. It's easy for me to do. So the publishing process has been entirely different, and I felt a little bit like a deer in headlights at first. But overall, I've really enjoyed learning the ropes and, the process. One thing I wish that I had known before entering was just how many times I'd write, rewrite, review the entire manuscript of Witch's Quarters. My editor was pretty hard on me, but in a really good way. I needed him to tell me the things that were wrong with the book. And when someone does that, especially if you put so much love into it originally, the knee-jerk reaction is to any suggested changes, no, it's perfect. It's great the way it is. But after reflection, I mean, even a few minutes of reflection, I knew right away that his suggestions were going to make the book better. So after making those changes, it's changed the manuscript a lot. And I've rewritten it at least 9 or 10 times. But I'd say it's 1,000 times better now. So it's been a great process. It's been very different, but a lot of fun, actually. So
good. Oh, and, I love hearing all of this, but there is one thing that I always wonder. And for you, it's when is the best time of day for you to write and why?
I generally will write early in the morning, and early, like 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. And the reason for that, well, I'm a morning person. Some people are night people, and I think most writers do write at night. But it's nice to do it in the morning because there's really no distraction. Nobody's calling me. I'm not getting any texts. There's nothing going on social media. The kids and dogs are all asleep, and my cat's awake, but he doesn't really need any attention. And I can sit and write for several hours with very little distraction. And then 6 or 6:30 rolls around and chaos ensues. The baby's crying, the dogs are scratching at their kennels to get out, the kids want breakfast, and I still got to get ready for work. But even though things get crazy almost immediately right around 6 o'clock, I feel like I'm better at handling it because I've had my 2 hours of peaceful creativity.
That's wonderful, and you are so right. I think some people are just night people, and others are morning people, and our creative process comes alive during that time, just depending on which personality we are. I've went through and asked a few questions. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you'd like to discuss?
I don't think so. Not particularly, and I'm really excited for the book to come out. We had a few issues with the cover, but just this morning, Callie and I have got things pretty hammered down, and I'm really excited for that to finally be released, and for it to move forward and go to print. I can't wait to have a physical copy of my own that I can open and unbox and unveil for the public.
Yes, that I'm looking forward to that too, and I look forward to, following your website and to see what events pop up and all of that fun stuff. Well, thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for calling in to the Metamorphosis Blog Talk Radio. It's been a wonderful interview.
It's been great talking to you, Stephanie.
All right. Well, everybody, have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.